What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, coming up later, John Fanta will join us to talk college hoops. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're joined by longtime friend of the show, Joel Corey, former sports agent, writer for CBS and CBSSports.com. Joel, good to talk to you, man. It's been a while.
It has. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. So does it drive you crazy as a former agent and a guy who does this for a living when you hear sports, you know, talk guys like us from around the country say, yeah, just go out and trade for Myles Garrett. He's out on the market. It's easy. Just fit him in. But you know better than anybody that it's much more complicated than just trying to trade for him. There are so many logistics hurdles to jump. You have to work out an extension for him. You have to find the proper compensation that goes back to the team trading for him. Talk about all the different
specifically
you have to jump through to get Myles Garrett on your team.
Yeah, specifically relating to Myles.
Yeah, this one's more complicated than a lot of people think. First of all, you got a team that basically said, we're not interested in trading him. We wouldn't take two first-round picks for him. So you have to get the Browns to come off their position, the first thing. Then they structured his contract in a way that they would never contemplate trading him, or they wouldn't have put all these option bonuses where the money is prorated and then restructure his contract a couple of times so that his cap number goes from a little over 19 million, basically 19.8, to there would be 36 million in dead money, which is a cap charge for nobody, somebody's not on the roster if they traded him in a timely fashion. And they're not in the best cap position to absorb something like that because they've got a ton of cap commitments. They've got almost 342 2025 cap commitments. That's a league high. But they are able to carry over basically $42 million of unused cap space to help mitigate that. But still, they're going to have to restructure contracts, cut people just to become cap compliant. And then taking on another $16 million of cap space to trade Myles Garrett doesn't seem all that feasible. Then it gets a little bit worse because with all these option bonuses, they've got one for $5 million where that money becomes prorated if he's still on the roster as of the third day of the league year, March 14th. So then the dead money is going to increase from $36 million to $41 million. That's just if you're trying to get rid of him quickly. So, one, they have to be willing to trade him, which they're not. And then the contract and their cap situation doesn't really make it feasible, at least right now.
So, I mean, how likely is it that they will be able to move him? How likely is it they'll be able to do all that?
Well, the best thing for them cap-wise would be to trade him after June 1st. Then you can split the dead money over 2 years because the acceleration of money from 2025 and beyond doesn't happen. It becomes a 2026 cap charge. But you don't get 2025 draft capital if you wait until after June 1st to trade him. So that becomes another problem. Maybe you think the 2026 draft is better than the 2025 draft. So that makes sense. Then the market of teams Garrett wants to go to is somewhat limited. He wants out of Cleveland because he wants to play for a Super Bowl contender. Andrew Berry, the GM, made a comment at their season in press conference, he envisioned Garrett going from Cleveland to Canton, Ohio, where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is located. And Garrett, in his statement announcing, publicly announcing one of the trades, said his intention wasn't to go from Cleveland to Canton, but he wanted to play for Super Bowls. So the pool of teams that he wants to go to, and you'll necessarily have to trade somewhere where they want to go, but let's say it's like, hey, you can go to the Bears. And he's like, yeah, that's basically where I am now. So he wants the team which, like Washington, the Lions, the Chargers, who look like they are Super Bowl contenders, are on the upswing. So that's another hurdle in this whole thing.
Hey, Joel, just to take things to a personal note for a second, you used to be Patrick Surtain's agent, right?
Senior.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
His dad.
That makes sense, but pretty amazing his son wins.
He was a very good player in his own right. He was a 3-4-time Pro Bowler, but is not his son.
He didn't inherit his son.
No, he taught his son well. Well, I've been out of the business way before his son. I remember Pat the second when he was a little kid, but I'm long gone.
Gotcha.
Hey, how realistic would it be for the Commanders who have, from what I'm looking at, about $75 million in cap space, if they wanted to trade for Myles Garrett? Is that realistic, or are Commanders fans just getting ahead of themselves? Because let's be honest, their first-round pick is 29 this year. With Jaden Daniels in the fold, they'll probably be picking late again next year. So I would guess the Browns would look at the Commanders and say, well, I mean, you're not going to give us the compensation that we would want, even if we wanted to deal Myles Garrett. How realistic is it that Garrett shows up here in Washington?
It's a place where he should want to go, but when Andrew Berry says, I don't want two first-round picks, and not all first-round picks are created equally, you guys have late first-round picks, so he was going to want – he want more than two first-round picks. It's two first-round picks, a player, some other picks, maybe picks go back in return. You have the cap space to do it. I look at the Commanders like the Houston Texans last year. The Texans unexpectedly were good, won the division. And then that last offseason, let's go out and get Danielle Hunter. Let's trade for Joe Mixon. Let's trade for Stephon Diggs. So they made a push to try to take a step forward. They didn't. But getting to the NFC Championship game, nobody contemplated that. That seems like a place where maybe the Commanders take a hard look at Myles Garrett, because he'd be a tremendous upgrade over Dante Fowler. No offense to him at 10 sacks, but he's not a defensive player of the year caliber player. Now, here's the tricky thing. Myles Garrett is 29, turned 29 in December. He isn't showing any signs of slowing down. He's got 2 years left on his contract. You'll have to extend it, most likely at the top of the market. At some point, there will be diminishing returns unless he's that guy who defies the odds and can play at a consistently high level into his mid-30s. So that would be another consideration as well.
So, Joel, if you're Adam Peters and you have all this cap space, and we're talking about a potential trade for Myles Garrett, what would your strategy be? Because you've got a quarterback in Jaden Daniels who's on that rookie deal. You've got all this money. You kind of got to go for it, right?
Yeah, just like the Texans. Yeah, I think your window is now. Because you do, but you have a ton of free agents this year. You signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals. You got to figure out which one of those guys you want back. Two guys I would want back in particular out of the older guys, Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. Your window is now. You probably need another receiver. People have been speculating that Deebo Samuel's on the trading block could be a Commander just because of the connection of Adam Peters coming from San Francisco. He's a buyer beware proposition to me because he got paid off of a great season in 2021 and hasn't been the same player since.
Mm-hmm. What about the quarterbacks? Where do you see the quarterbacks ending up? The Kirk Cousins, the Aaron Rodgers, the Sam Darnolds. Doesn't seem to be a great year for drafting quarterbacks, so there's probably going to be a pretty good market for those guys.
Yeah, that helps the veteran market. Darnold is the most intriguing one to me because he was humming along until the last two games of the season for him when they lost the chance to be the number one seed in the NFC, and then his playoff performance against the Rams, people like, oh, that's the Sam Darnold we remember from the Jets and the Panthers. But he was a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. I think that deal ends up at least $40 million. I don't know if he's back with the Vikings just because the franchise tag number is going to be close to $40 million, and you did draft J.J. McCarthy for a reason. Maybe the Raiders, but if it's not the great quarterback year at number six, maybe a guy falls to them. Rodgers doesn't seem like he's going to be back with the Jets. He got better as the year went on. He may retire. Matthew Stafford, that's another one out there. If they can't work something out with him in his contract with the Rams, then where does he end up? So Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, which one is in Pittsburgh? I'd go Fields just because he's younger. There could be a chance Wilson doesn't have a starting job anywhere when the musical chairs all shakes out.
Joined by Joel Corey, former sports agent, writer for CBSSports.com. So I'm sure Kellen Moore is happy he got the Saints job. You always want to grab that head coaching job when it's offered to you, but they're in salary cap hell. They're $54 million over the cap. They've got an aging roster. They've got Alvin Kamara, who I think is close to 30. Like, he had to take the job, but I'm sure he knew about their salary cap issues, but that's got to be tough for him going in year one, being $50-plus million over the cap.
In a weird way, he was done a favor when Mike McCarthy fired him because he did go to the Chargers for a year. That didn't work out. Goes to Philly, now sets himself up and is a head coach, and McCarthy's not. But the Saints have perpetual cap problems. That's something that happens every year. They treat it like they're a Super Bowl contender when they really haven't been in quite some time. Now, you're right, it is an aging roster. They're going to do what they always do, which is kick the can down the road, push today's cap obligations to tomorrow, and then worry about next year, next year. Now, the one thing that they really need to figure out, and Moore needs to decide, is do I really want Derek Carr as my quarterback? He's got a cap number of almost $51.5 million. If you released him, the best way to do it would be if they post June 1 designation, so you'd be carrying him on the roster till June 2nd, and then you'd pick up $30 million of cap space. But I fully expect the Saints to double down on him. They're going to restructure that contract to the maximum extent possible and create cap room, create almost $31 million in cap room. That's what I expect them to do.
The Bengals have $46 million in cap space. Do they get a deal where they keep T. Higgins there with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, or does he ultimately hit the market? Does he sign with a different team?
Well, Joe Burrow's putting a whole lot of public pressure on them to get something done and keep the core together. He wants them to restructure his contract, which they may or may not do. That's within their sole control because these contracts have automatic conversion rights. So he doesn't have any control over whether that happens. Higgins, if he hits the open market and is looking to cash in, he's probably going to sign for over $30 million per year somewhere because he's clearly the best receiver out there. They could stick a second franchise tag on him for a little over $26 million, which would probably at least placate Burrow in the short run. The interesting thing is T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase have the same agent. T. Higgins fired his agent in the latter part of the season and hired Rocky Arsenault. I don't know whether that helps or hurts. Then there's Chase that they tried to get the deal done with last year. Didn't. And then he goes out and wins the receiving triple crown, which means whatever you wanted to sign him for in 2024 is obsolete, and he's going to want more money than that. The highest paid non-quarterback is Justin Jefferson at $35 million per year. if a deal gets done, it's going to be for significantly more than that. The bigger issue is the Bengals don't really guarantee money after the first contract year. They've done it one time. That's for Burrow. He's the exception. I presume Chase would have to be the second guy. We'd have to give him market guarantees to get a deal done.
Joel, thanks as always for the time. We're always smarter after you join us, man. We appreciate it.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
That's Joel Corey, former sports agent and writer for CBS. Don't forget, John Fanta will join us coming up in just about 45 minutes. We'll talk college hoops with him. When we come back, we'll debut a brand new segment. We'll tell you what's ricking us. We'll do that next here on The Fan. Just a reminder, the Junkies text line is presented by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955. By my bad radio math, that's 70 years ago.
It's pretty good.
Is that correct?
Well, it's more than 70.
It is?
What was the number you just gave me? It's 25.
Okay.
Oh, okay, you said 55. I misheard you.
70 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Silly radio math. Yeah, yeah. They're on the fly.
I misheard you.
Serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads, Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. Text 800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply.
Might have to hit the Lido and Treville.
That sounds like a great
idea. Today for lunch.
It'd be fantastic. You should do that. All right, so going into the break, I teased a new segment. And we're still kind of toying with the name of it, but I kind of like, I think we've landed on Stop Ricking Me.
Yeah, it's actually...
Something's Ricking Me. Something, you know what, along those lines.
Do you know what the name of the pilot that we shot for ESPN was actually called?
I have no clue.
It was actually called Same As It Ever Was. That was their original working headline for the pilot. So Stop
like
Ricking
that.
Me, basically under my skin, but I like it. I don't know why that died on the vine. Just eventually people got sick of preparing the segment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Stop Ricking Me is what you're upset.
Yeah.
I think Drab was the first person to use Rick as a verb. Rick was a derivation of...
genius. It's a genius move,
I mean,
by Drab.
It's all a derivation of a certain word, and it became Richard, Ricky, Rick.
Stop
and then he
me.
Actually flipped it into a verb.
Yeah.
So I'll lead off with Stop Ricking Me, and I'll start off with something small. I have four different things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, four? Wow.
This is very small.
It's a lot.
Sure, I have.
So I made a reservation for Friday night for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
8:30 reservation. I used the app Open Table.
Okay, yep.
That should be it. The end of story. They actually send a confirmation email.
Kind of a rookie move to actually go out on Valentine's Day. But look, I'm not. You're doing your thing. I mean, it's.
How's that a rookie move? It's a Friday night.
He doesn't
it's
like to
Valentine's
be around, remember,
Day.
He doesn't like to be around people. He wants
God
it,
bless.
For him, it'd be a nightmare because he likes an empty restaurant.
Most veterans that have been in the married game for a while, like, they're not going to go out on actually Valentine's Day. They'll pick a day around Valentine's
I'm
gonna
Day. I'm going to bet you that that place is packed.
I'm sure it is with a bunch of rookies and rubes.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Whatever. So this is very minor.
Yeah.
So I use Open Table. I book it. Table for two, 8:30 p.m., which Cakes would never do.
Never,
8:30 p.m.
Never in a trillion years.
They send a confirmation email.
Mm-hmm.
That should be ball game. I should show up on Friday night. Yesterday, they called me. I didn't recognize the number. I said, please call back to confirm.
Okay.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I already did this, but I called the restaurant and confirmed. And then like 4 or 5 hours later, I got another call from probably a waitress there.
Yeah.
Said, we just wanted to confirm if you're going to be there on Friday night. How many times do I need to confirm that
confirmed.
I'm going on Friday?
I mean,
and
I
I'm guessing they're checking because the place will be packed.
Probably.
Even though Cakes thinks nobody goes out on Valentine's Day.
I know they go out. They're
veterans.
They're the amateurs.
He's saying the veterans.
The veterans in the game know to avoid restaurants on Valentine's Day.
So what are you doing for Valentine's Day? You're going out today?
No. I'm playing in the Cakes Classic.
Yeah. See?
I had a half dozen people think that I scheduled it. They come up to me like, why did you schedule the Cakes Classic on Valentine's Day? I said, do you think I come up with the schedule? I'm just contractor.
It's great for couples. Couples should enter the Cakes Classic.
They're more than welcome.
You're such a romantic.
I'm very romantic.
800-636-1067 if you want to tell us what's ricking you. What's ricking you, Cakes?
You said you had four things. You only did one.
I do, but
I just have one. people that don't know how to act in hotels. The last two hotel stays that I've had.
All right.
Okay, one was in Roll Tide, Alabama, when I was visiting my mom.
Uh-huh.
First of all, part of it's on me because I booked a flea bag hotel. Like,
why don't you stay at her house?
For $80 a night. Just, I don't know. She has her own space. It's, I would just rather be, I'd rather have my own space. Okay.
That's
it's like
weird.
It's a mile from my mom's house.
That's right. Fine.
I've got my own spot.
I can kind of see it.
But it's a number. It's a number. I'm trying to save some money. Paper thin walls.
What's the name of the hotel?
Like Microtel. It's because the rooms are super small because they're trying to go cheap.
It's called a micro.
Microtel. Microtel.
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
Is it a chain?
It is a chain. It's owned by one of the big boys, but it's like their budget version.
Because I know where your mom lives, and no disrespect. Yeah. It is a very low income area. It's not like
it's
nice.
On the come up, but it doesn't.
It's an old.
There's no Four Seasons there.
No,
okay.
No,
there's no MGM National Harbor.
I'm not even sure there's a McDonald's there.
So the first day, paper thin walls. You hear everything.
Yeah.
People are talking, just jabbering on at all hours of the night.
You hear people hitting skins. Oh,
even worse.
That's Evie's dream.
Next door.
Dream. It's happened to me in reality.
Next door to me. Okay. There's a sign. At the front of the hotel, when you check in, pets under 30 pounds allowed.
Dog
the people
barking.
Next door to me, they had a dog as big as Drab T-Shirt's dog. How much did your dog weigh, Drab?
140 pounds.
Okay, maybe
almost.
Not that big, but this dog weighed 70 or 80 pounds, barking all hours of the night. These hillbillies had a dog in the hotel that was more than double the size it should have been. And they're just out in the hallway at all hours of the night, just making a ruckus. Then last night, as I'm just desperately trying to get 3 hours of sleep after taking a horrendous beat and playing a hand poorly, and then I'm sleeping next to Chris, who's snoring like
Chris
a banshee.
The snorer.
So I'm kept awake by that. There's another person in the middle, like 3 a.m. at MGM National Harbor, a nice hotel. Screaming in the hallway, like for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what sort of madness is this?
That does happen.
I'm just looking for some sleep.
That does happen in like casinos. Like you can have craziness in the middle of the night. People are just hammered.
This person had to be like unhinged, screaming and ranting at 3 a.m.
Right.
I almost called security, but then I just fell back. I think I fell back asleep.
Right.
So people, when you go on the road, when you go to a hotel, can you please act like a normal human being, like your pal Cakes? I just go in, I check in, I go into my room, I don't blare the TV, I don't go out into the hallway in the middle of the night and start screaming for no reason. I'm not bringing my dog. Stop it already.
All right, you mentioned two things. I didn't but these are things that have happened to me recently. One happens all the time. But this one is just, it's particular. I'm not going to mention the name of it, the brand, but there's a particular hotel chain that in some of their hotels, when I get up in the morning, when I travel, I want to get out of there and go on to my destination, wherever it is, get out of there or first thing in the morning. Just want to get my coffee and get out. There's a particular chain that oftentimes has their own Starbucks inside it. And they won't serve you. You can't just get your regular hillbilly, just regular coffee. You have to buy the Starbucks coffee inside. I got currently right now I'm just drinking black coffee. I'm putting my own little Stevia in it. I don't want to pay $6 or whatever for a freaking coffee from Starbucks. I just want regular coffee. Any hotel you go in, you should always have free regular coffee.
I totally
always have free
totally
regular coffee.
Agree.
And I'm not talking about the little mini things that they never clean that are in your rooms.
No.
Those are nuts.
They should have a dedicated coffee station in the lobby.
Yes.
At all
and
hours
this,
of the day.
This particular chain, when they have Starbucks inside, between, at least at this one, between 6 and 10 a.m., you have to pay for their coffee.
Right.
And then later in the day, they put out the Nubs coffee.
Okay.
We should all be able to have Nubs coffee 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Is that line? That line's got to be massive at the Starbucks, too. If that's the only place that you can get it in the morning.
I mean, It's inside the hotel, so I guess it just depends on when people will get down. I mean, I guess it could be a long line. I'm usually there pretty early.
Do the rooms have coffee machines?
They do, but there's those little nubbers, and if you ever, they always tell you they never clean them. Nobody ever uses them. I don't like to use the little nubbers in the rooms.
I understand your frustration. I'm almost on the hotel side on this because if you don't want the Starbucks, you can just go outside. Find your Dunkin' Donuts or whatever else is right around there.
I think part of me paying $150 or whatever it is, I should be
able to get
coffee.
But that hotel doesn't do that. They got it in your room.
They do have it in your room. You're right. But then oftentimes you don't realize it till you get into the hallway.
You didn't realize that you had coffee in the room?
No, you realize you have those machines, but you just don't. Nobody uses those. Everybody just uses.
Obviously, people use them.
Most people use the regular free coffee that's there for everybody.
You want the continental breakfast setup, essentially.
You want silly lobby coffee.
You should have lobby coffee every hotel. 24/7. And by and large, I would say most of them do. Most of them do. But there's one particular chain that they love to jam a Starbucks in there and make you buy the Starbucks. And it's very annoying. So that ricks me. The other thing that ricks me, it's unpopular. Sorry, it ricks me. Hate when I'm driving. I hate when I'm going anywhere. I'm going to be downtown all weekend, and the smell of weed is going to hit me all weekend. It ricks me. I think it's for losers. And if you want to do that, fine. Do your own thing.
Gummy.
Do a gummy. Do a vape or something. I hate the weed smell. It infuriates me. Every time I go from 0 to 60 instantly.
I hate that.
Instantly.
It's your trigger.
It triggers me. I could be driving in the middle of nowhere. A car passes me. Guys, high as a kite. Probably shouldn't be driving. And now I'm smelling weed for 5 minutes. I'm in
very,
the city.
It's very unsettling.
It is. And I'm in the city all the time, different cities. And you can't go anywhere without weed.
I'm not a fan of the smell.
I hate it.
I was at Whole Foods, and I was just in the little spot where you wait to get like a slice of pizza, and this couple rolls up to me.
Yeah, they reeked of weed, right?
Totally reeked of weed. Not here. I was in Gaithersburg.
I often, you know me, I'm a cheapie. I like to go to Marshall's and find silly Peter Millar gear for $20, right?
That's my thing. I prefer going to Golfdom.
Yeah, I like Golfdom too. But I'll go into some dude, some loser reeks of weed.
Hey, they're playing your favorite band in the background. These guys love weed.
Who are these guys?
Cypress Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big weed guys.
Aren't you embarrassed when, like, your coat and your jeans, you're just saturated
with weed? A lot of those people care.
Weren't there statistics that came out that there are more people smoking weed than consuming alcohol at this point in the country?
I have no idea. I
saw some study that said that was the case. I don't know whether it's true or not. It might have been from some flimsy New York Post article that, you know, like Cakes mentioned earlier, that had some weird site.
It's just as embarrassing if you reek of alcohol. It's just as embarrassing. But that's a little, for some reason, it's a little harder to smell that. It's not, maybe you have to be closer.
Well, it's definitely harder to smell.
The weed smell is just everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, how can a car drive by you? And 5 minutes later, the smell is still there. It just drove by you.
They're just blazing up in the car.
They're hotboxing that thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. When they put us up at the hotel 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, when we had that choice to stay at the hotel or a snowstorm, I mean, I could smell weed from my hotel room.
Sure.
Big time.
They have the Capitol Hill volleyball thing. I'm going to be in the in downtown, staying at a hotel, actually, so we don't have to drive back and forth. I'm going to smell weed for 72 straight hours.
You might have a contact high.
I mean, probably.
Hey, your joints might feel better. Cure that glaucoma.
All right, Drabby, you have anything? You want to chime in?
I didn't, but it's ricking me that you're staying at a hotel 10 miles from your house.
It kind of ricks
me. It's a good one on the fly.
It kind of ricks me because you are just kind of like lighting money on fire. But when your kid has
you just can't complain anymore. You can't complain about money if you're just wasting it at hotels.
Listen,
for no reason.
Listen, I have money.
I know, you're big silly.
I have money.
Not wasting
I'm just spending a lot of it in the last year or two. I have money, but it's... When you play a volleyball match, let's say you're there till 9 o'clock, and then you got to drive home, you'll get home till 10, 10:30, whatever, and then they have to be at the court the next day at 7, so you got to get up at 5:30.
Paying for the convenience.
It's but inconvenient. It's, I'm sorry. It just is. So I'm not staying at the Four Seasons. I'm actually staying at the chain I don't like. Yeah.
The microtel?
I'm actually staying at
the microtel. Is it a microtel?
Like. No, I'm probably going to have to pay for freaking coffee all weekend.
I will make this known. I'll never stay at that flea bag dump ever again.
I got to look that one up.
I have to have higher standards. I have to treat myself better.
Does your brother do that too when he goes?
Yeah, because he usually is going with like his whole family in tow.
I don't know. Yeah, I've only been to your mom's house the one time. Yeah. She took EB and I on a full tour.
Yeah, I was like, I know.
Now she's living there by herself and figured you'd stay there.
I can see. He doesn't want it. It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not his spot.
When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Metallica when they come to Northwest Stadium. So keep listening for your chance to win. It's coming up next. It's time to raise your standards, people. Open Road Distilling Company is now at Virginia ABC, exclusively in Northern Virginia. Whether it's the bold spice of Eagle Eye Rye, the smooth depth of Independence Bourbon, or the rich, ready-to-pour maple old-fashioned, this is whiskey done right. For the full experience, visit them in Reston Town Center. Right now, you can call us at 800-636-1067 for your chance to win two tickets to Metallica's M72 tour. It comes to Northwest Stadium in late May of 2025. The date is Wednesday, May 28th. We're going to play real or fake Metallica song title.
I like it.
It's very easy. It's a very simple game.
I like it. Earlier in the show, we had the discussion about the opening game of the NFL season and wondering if the Commanders, based on what Adam Schefter said, would be considered. Mm-hmm. And I threw it up there as our Surfside poll of the day. Would you want it to happen? Would you want them to play in the NFL opener on Thursday Night Football? Of course, we love Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka. They're the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar and convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. What do you think it is, the poll?
70% would like to see that matchup.
It's early in the poll, but it's straight up 50-50. Mm.
It's coin flip.
50-50.
Okay.
I'd like to see it. Because, you know, come August, we're going to want preseason games, and then we're going to see the preseason games, and we're like, just get the regular season going. So why wouldn't you want the first game to get the regular season going?
That'd be fantastic.
And then I know what you're saying, EB, that on Sunday, you don't have the Commanders to watch, but then you can just casually watch the rest of the league.
I just don't care.
And you don't
have
to stay up.
I mean, it'd be casual. I'll casually watch, but I'll be
up. It's NFL. The NFL is the best.
It is.
And the NFL is, for me, it's about the only sport where you can put two random teams and I'll be into it. Whereas,
you can't.
I mean, I can't do that for hockey. Like, if you just gave me an Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings,
I
couldn't watch that.
That goes without saying.
If you gave me
the NBA, couldn't do it.
Two Nubs NBA teams, and I like the NBA, couldn't do it. Two Nubs college football teams, couldn't do it.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's palatable. I could do it, but I don't get excited to watch. Like, say, the Falcons, Bears. Like, it means nothing to me. I get excited for our games.
Yeah. Sure, you get a lather.
Yeah.
Worked
up. And when they're not on Sunday, it's
leaves you hollow.
Yes.
Leaves you wanting.
Yes.
I understand.
That's all right. If they play a bunch of primetime games, I'll play golf. It'll be fine.
You'll fill your time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, this resurgence of some golf. And I get it. Look, EB loved golf as a kid. I mean, even made like golf courses in his front yard and his dad's, I don't know what you call that, church, the rectory, whatever it was, which was right across the street.
Yeah.
And you worked at a golf course, but then you kind of retired from it for a long time.
I raised kids for 20 years.
Yeah, but you always said that your back was hurting and this and that.
It did. Believe me, I still have back issues. Mm-hmm. But I think when you don't play a lot and then when you play, it really aggravates it. You get it a little bit looser from playing more and more. But believe me, after every time I play golf, whether it's for an hour or it's 18 holes, I can't stand up the rest of the day properly.
I remember even playing
Doesn't
with your brother.
Great.
I probably
by the next morning it's fine.
Yeah,
I remember playing with your brother like, let's say 2 years ago, and he's like, I can't play golf with my brother. It's miserable.
What happened? I know no one cares. We're gonna do the game, but. My kid, I dedicated, like we all have, the last 20 years of raising my kids, and I've loved going to all their games, But two of them are done. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with myself? I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with myself for the rest of my life. So I decided I'm going to try to get actually good at golf. Valdez inspired me. He was terrible. He was a nubber. And he's a very good player now.
He was terrible?
He's a role model. Look at that.
I remember playing with him when he first started working with us.
I thought he was okay.
He was fine. He was an athlete playing golf.
He was shooting the 90s.
Yeah, he wasn't terrible.
It was an average player.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just got very good. What are you now, about a 5 or something?
Like 4.4?
Yeah. Nice.
I've gotten down my lowest as a 2.6.
Impressive.
I was impressed that a guy like Valdez.
Idiot.
Could get down that
big lunk.
So it inspired
This me. Is Matt Valdez.
Oh, that's all. Just trying to get, what am I going to do for my last 20 years, Cakes? Figure it, maybe if I'm lucky, if I don't wrap a car around a tree or something. Or don't get a big tumor.
You're going to do the Stop Ricking Me segment.
Yeah. All right. Ready for the game?
I'm ready.
All right. So are we going to play something? Or
no. I'm going to give out a song title, and you just tell me, is it a real or a fake Metallica song title?
All right.
If you guess correctly, you win.
All right. Let's go.
I'll bounce one off you, EB.
Right, Enter Sandman.
No, I'm going to bounce one off EB. Real or fake Metallica song title?
All right.
The song is...
Hold up. I'm going to write this down. I got to read on you.
Okay.
Don't change it.
I won't. The song is Creeping Death. Fake or Real by Metallica.
Fake.
I nailed it.
Fake.
Oh, that's very real. Oh.
I could just tell from his face that he was going to give you a real one.
Crank this up, Valdez. This is so good. I mean, they're definitely going to play this when they come.
I think I've actually heard this.
Of course you've heard it.
We play this.
It's a smashola.
This is a great intro.
Yes.
Hold on.
You're going to say hold on for a while.
Yeah. No, that's a... Do we play this a lot as an intro?
No.
Definitely heard it. How have I heard it?
They're Metallica?
Yeah, I mean...
That doesn't get radio airplay.
No.
Some I've heard that.
No radio airplay.
All right, so let's do it to Chris.
All right, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Chris,
contest could be over very soon.
It could be. Yep. That's fine. We want to give these tickets away. Chris, are you with us? We're not hearing Chris. We'll go to the next. Whoever the next person is.
Maybe I did something wrong. Let's go to Devin in Annapolis. Hey, Devin.
Hey, guys.
Hold on. Your phone's terrible. Can't do that.
No,
that's not going to work.
Please.
Let's try Chris again. Chris, are you there, bud? Hey.
Yeah. All right, Chris, fake or real Metallica song title? The song is 75 Seasons. Real or fake?
Real.
I'm sorry. The real title is 72 Seasons. I threw you by just altering the second number. It's the lead track on their latest album. You should know that, sir. All right, who's up next?
All right, let's go to Steve in Montclair. Hey, Steve.
Hey, boys.
Steve, real or fake Metallica song title, The Thing That Should Not Be.
That is real, sir.
That is real. That is off Master of Puppets. It's a classic.
I would have bet that was real because Cakes couldn't come up with a fake title that complicated.
You're probably
Can you give me your fake titles? We'll redo the read and then we'll get to it.
All right. You've won two tickets to Metallica M72 Tour.
That's
not
Steve.
M75 Tour, the M72 Tour with special guests Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events.
All right. So. It was fake or real. I knew that you were just before you went to EB.
Yeah.
Also, like he wasn't going to think of a brand new one that he didn't put on his list. So I knew he was going real. That's why I wrote it down before
that. I've got one for you, JP.
No, but just go through the fake names that you already came up with.
I only have two fakies.
I'm guessing none were as complicated as that title.
No, the other fake I have is Wasted Years.
Okay.
And that's not a Metallica song. That's an Iron Maiden song.
Okay.
So I just threw that in there.
Right.
As a little curveball.
You didn't come up with your own
other
title?
What was your other fakie?
The 75 seasons. It's 72 seasons.
Yeah.
So I just threw them off with the number.
Oh, you just tweaked them
the
a little
number
bit.
Shake up. Yeah. The other real song title was Trapped Under Ice, which sounds terrifying.
That would suck.
Being trapped under ice would be just
Did you read the story? I pulled a JP. I glancied it.
Okay,
but they said it was on Daily Mail, which I love for the gory graphic headlines.
You do love it.
And theirs was like, this guy dies the worst death ever.
So, of course, you have to click it.
Yeah, so I click it, but I do just glance at it because I almost don't even want to relive it mentally. I guess he was going in some, like, cave exploring.
Okay.
And he went into, They said it was like a beginner-like cave. Somehow, he got stuck in a cave upside down.
Oh, I've definitely seen that before.
Yeah.
I'm on a weird algorithm, by the way, on my Twitter.
I think he died.
On my Twitter.
Stuck upside down in a cave.
Like, I don't think I follow this account, but I think the name of it is like Horrible Deaths or Horrible Ways to Die.
Right.
It's just the worst of the worst. It's like people getting run over by trains, people attempting to like climb on balconies, kind of like JP when he goes on vacation, but it goes horribly wrong and they fall 10 stories to their death.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's in
because
my feed.
You keep clicking on it. If you want to change your algorithm, pick some things that you want it to go to and then click on it a few times.
No, but then what you also could do, especially with Instagram, but you don't do it, right? You don't do Instagram Reels.
I don't do a lot
of Reels.
On Reels,
you could click, you click the little three dots and you click interested. Yes, interested.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, or if something comes up that you definitely don't want, just put not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
stories.
I'm just saying on Twitter, quit clicking on it, and then whatever.
I can't help myself.
Whatever you want to click on, just hit poker, and then just click 100 times, and then all you're going to get is poker.
There was some Latina porno chick who was on a balcony. Did you see this, Valde? I'm sure you saw this. And she was doing like a threesome scene.
Oh, yeah, I did see
that. Fell over the balcony. Donked off. Died.
That's horrifying.
You know how aggressive that sex must have been?
What a lead in for our next guest.
Uh-oh.
John Fanta, National College Hoops broadcaster and writer for Fox Sports. He's going to join us next here on The Fan.